Likely no. We'll have a better sense today. We didn't. The workload yesterday wasn't big, just because we were so close to the end of the game. So we didn't want to. It wasn't our typical Wednesday from a workload standpoint. So it wasn't a lot of high speed running for the wideouts. But we'll have a better sense today. But it's. I would say it's probably a little early to have any type of significant workload, if any, for him.
That only be if he's also up as a receiver then? Like, you wouldn't make a point to have him up to be a third quarterback?
Correct. He'd be up as a receiver and then would be there. It's also, or just having one on the roster, meaning more than likely, given our depth at other positions, only if we only have two up and he's not up, then it would be, hey, if there ended up being an issue the following week, then he had an injury, then he would be up. So it's... It'll give you the luxury if and when that he is active on game day, that your third quarterback is active, and that's a little bit of an insurance policy there. But it's we still completely see him as wide receiver first.
Is there any thinking that maybe there's a missed opportunity to get him in earlier and develop him earlier in the season than his last – 5 games?
Yeah, I mean, you evaluate your roster each week and what opportunities you have to improve it. And as I said yesterday, that he was someone when he left, you didn't have a great feeling about it because it was, hey, we think this guy has a chance. But it was just what our circumstances were at that time to have 53 that he was kind of on the outside of that looking in from a number standpoint. But as time went on and we evaluated the roster each week and circled back on that conversation a couple times and it just got to the point now where we felt the time was right.
What does it say to you that he wanted to come back here?
Certainly see that as a positive. I thought he built some good relationships here. I know he was what he said on the way out that I forget exactly what it was, but it was born from his competitiveness that he thought he could get it done and wasn't thrilled with being let go and it was something where I had a meeting with him and we looked him in the eye and said this isn't a one way street and there's a chance down the road that this could happen again, and we're something, like I said, that we'd put on the back burner. And I'm glad we're able to do it because he'll get a month's work at the position. Hopefully he can contribute. If not, continue to develop and build some momentum towards the offseason.
Obviously, with offensive line, they are more glaring to people like us when they don't succeed. And we've seen Cam Irving get blown up on a few plays.
Mm-hmm.
Where is he? How much does he need to grow in terms of strength and that kind of thing as he moves forward in his career?
Certainly some room for improvement. We all see that. I think that's it is a very difficult position to come in and be where you want to be as a rookie. From a position, I think you see other positions that can do that much easier than offensive line. But there's the skill set is there to work with, but there were some plays where he did, where he did get overpowered and knows that he's got to work on his, some of that stuff, all of our players will be tasked with, hey, here's what you did well this year. Here's what you didn't do well. That long block of time where we don't have our guys from January to essentially mid April. That we will task them with, hey, this is where we want to see you. This is where you need to make strides and give him an action plan coming out of here. And that's for all of our guys. But, Cam clearly has some work to do, but the skill is there to work with it and certainly the want to. I mean, he's a guy he's 100 miles an hour, plays hard, loves the game. And when the want to is there and the potential's there, that we're confident that it'll happen for him. some of it's pad level, some of it's technique, some of it's functional strength. I mean, it's you got to look at each play individually.
Mike, after the game with the special teams breakdowns that you had, what are your conversations like with Chris Table?
Private. Very private. No, Tabes and I spend a lot of time together and can have very open, honest, blunt conversations. And, you know, some things we can control, and those are the things we need to make sure we have locked in. And some of the other ones are out of our control. And, we have a good understanding of the breakdowns. And it's unfortunate because I think overall special teams this year has been a positive. But just to have those mistakes made, a punt return and a block kick that essentially, you know, that cost us the game, I mean, that's tough when it's that glaring, it's on a national stage. But overall body work, very pleased with where our units are. But it's unfortunate that those events happen.
Mike, Brian Billick said recently, when he came into the league, one of the most difficult things for him was learning clock management, because of you've got so many other things you're trying to do and get your organization running. He was saying the first year or two, it was very difficult. He was even trying to invent ways to come up with things. Okay, if this happens, what do I do? Can you talk about your first 2 years in trying to deal with that?
Yeah, it is. It is a challenge, and it is very difficult coming from a coordinator standpoint. When it's hard for a coordinator to manage the clock. Even most of the clock management decisions come on offense. But it's very difficult when you're calling plays to have that awareness. So you need that voice in your ear. It's something I spend a lot of time on. I've very good discussions with the staff. I get help from up top. And I thought the end of the first half was a good example that I wanted to make sure that we had an opportunity. We had viable opportunities to score, but at the same time, not put the defense back out there. So it ended up, I think we kicked off with 3 seconds left. But that was one where a lot of positive interaction with the guys up top. The end of the game one was unfortunate because it was, Austin, it's well documented and talked about that had a chance to get out of bounds and slide, and we wasted a lot of time. I mean, and that's on us as an operation to make sure that doesn't happen again.
Good. Forced, like when you started your career, I think your first four games may have gone down to the very last play of the game. Did it sink in right away that, man, there's things happen fast, and decisions have to be made?
Yeah, it is, and it's there's an art to it, and communication and preparation, I think, are the key. That you have to have somebody up top that can be in your ear. It's very emotional on the sideline. You can get caught up in some things, and I think you have to be very proactive with clock management than reactive, because that's when mistakes are made. So there's a lot of good material out there that I got a chance to get through a good amount of it in the off season. I mean, a lot of people have opinions on it and systems and ways to do it. And I know I haven't batted 1,000 on it, but it's something that when you make a mistake, you don't want to make it again. And that is, I agree with Brian that it's, I think it's one of the things that you realize it's a lot harder than you think when you first take over. I'm not going to tell you, so that way you can't go stick a microphone in his face. The guy I rely on the most is Kurt Roper. He's our senior offensive consultant. He's not coaching a position, so I think that helps him that he's more of the 30,000 foot view of everything, and that's helpful that he can kind of stay distance from watching any one position and be more in tune with me as far as game reminders.
Because we're talking about it, so why couldn't you call time out there?
We called the play, and then we were expecting the ball to be snapped, and then it continued to not be snapped, and that's unfortunately had an issue with the headset right at the same time where Austin was thinking that we were okay from a range standpoint that we were far enough down. So it was kind of the perfect storm of that, because I was tempted a couple times thinking this play hasn't been but we were lined up, we're ready to snap it, and then it just didn't get snapped. And ultimately, that's on us. I mean, I take full responsibility for that.
I know Carlos Dansby is leading your team in tackles. What kind of season does he have?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, when you just talk about where we are defensively and some of the struggles that we have, it's hard to say, hey, listen, so-and-so is having a great year. But Carlos has done some really good things for us and provided us with leadership. I think he's been productive, but the Mike linebacker in our system should be productive. But he makes a lot of plays. His length, his instincts. I mean, I think he's been exceptional in pass coverage. I mean, he's got two interceptions return for touchdowns this year. I think like a lot of the guys on D, they've had stretches where they've played well, and then had some times where they would want to trade some of those plays in. When you deal with a topic as sensitive as concussions, you know, the longer guys are out, I think those conversations will come up. We're not there yet. You also have Hawk, who's been out for some time too, you know, with the season winding down. Those are potential discussions to have. And that's, like I said, it's a sensitive topic and something that ultimately has to come to the table.
Blunt conversation. Say Jimmy 2-14 over the last 16 is obviously a big danger line in this business. And I guess if we were in your shoes, we'd want to know if we had a chance.
Thanks for reminding me of that, by the way.
Yeah. But that's it. Do you say, hey, Jimmy?
Well, first of all, my.
What do I need to do to come back next year?
Anybody that knows me and anybody that knows Jimmy Haslam, our conversations are always blunt. The time is so valuable during the season that we get into a conversation. We deal with topics head on. There's no dancing around them. So, I feel very upset about the record. And I've talked about this before. That's on us. We own it. And that this is a bottom line business, and where we are isn't good enough. Now, as the question is, you know, do we have a plan to fix it? Is it fixable? I feel like we do, but we'll have to wait and see. I can't get wrapped up in all that. Now, as the season winds down, that potentially could come up between the two of us. But I'm full speed ahead, committed to getting this fixed here in Cleveland, and I know the results aren't anywhere near where they need to be, but that doesn't mean that we're not making strides, that we're not getting it set up, that it can be done. So it's, to me, it's a belief that we can, and I know we got 5 games left, and we're going to go out and wear the Cleveland logo proud and try to win football games. Wait, well, when Peter says 2, the average number of questions that follow is about 5, so this isn't breaking his rule.
How much practice does Hartline get at third quarterback, and what would you do if you were under center other than hold your breath?
I think it's true with most teams. There's a package of plays. I mean, we're not going to run our offense, but there's some things that we can do with him in there, plays that he would be comfortable with. But the answer is not much. You get him some in a walkthrough every now and again. Earlier in the year, there were some repetitions, but you don't do too much of it. But it's when you get into the season and your reps are so limited, you build that package. You know what it is. You have it on the call sheet. Like you said, you hope you never have to go there.